Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. If it's Monday night and 6 o'clock, yes, we're here live on 95.9 FM in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. I just want to say two things. One is today is National Radio Day, so what a day for me to be on the air. I'm very excited about that. And the other thing today is the 7th anniversary of this show. And I thought it would last 7 weeks, and there are those who think it should have been gone by now, but I am still here. It is 7 years, and I'm only here because of you and your support, and I appreciate your being here. So what are we going to talk about tonight? We're going to talk about your eyes. When I talk about eyes, everybody perks up, because let's be clear, let's face it, eyes are our window on the world, and when we have problems with our eyes, it can be devastating, although it doesn't have to be. And my guest tonight, Dr. Douglas Douglas Leader, is a noted ophthalmologist in the area. I'm going to tell you a whole lot more about Dr. Leader in just a minute. But he's going to help us prevent some of the eye problems that we have and help walk us through how to deal with them if we are, in fact, coming down with some eye problems. But in first, I just want to say, I can't believe the summer's over. Kids are back to school. Life is beginning to return to normal. Traffic is back up. The snowbirds aren't back yet. But I do want to do two things as this part of the year starts to unfold. One, schools are open. Be careful. Watch those school speed limit signs for two reasons. Most important, we want to protect our kids. And two is, the speeding tickets through school zones are outrageous, so don't screw around with that, please. And the other thing I want to encourage everybody to do is vote. We are in the midst of early voting. Our primary here is a week from tomorrow. Please, register to vote. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I don't care if you're independent. It does not matter to me what your political persuasion is. But never has it been more important for us as a society to exercise our constitutional right to vote. I want to thank a couple of people for some last week opportunities. I spoke with St. Vincent's Hospital up in Jacksonville. I spoke to their Club 55 twice, once in Clay County and once in Duval County. They were terrific. They were wonderful. I also had the pleasure of speaking to Allegro up there and Windsor Palms. And this week, Wednesday night, I'm going to be doing a book signing at Symphony in St. Augustine, and I'm excited about that. So I want to thank all of those people. But now the reason you're tuning in is because you want to hear from my guest. Dr. Douglas Leader is a board-certified ophthalmologist with offices in West Palm and in Jupiter. He is the chief of ophthalmology at St. Mary's and has been called upon often as an expert witness for the agency that regulates a whole host of people, including my day job. That would be the Agency for Healthcare Administration. He's a certified fellow from the American Osteopathic College of Ophthalmology. His education credentials are so numerous that if I read them all, we'd be here all night. We wouldn't get to talk to him, so I won't repeat them all. He's been in private practice here since 1990, and he remains a trauma surgeon, an trauma surgeon at both St. Mary's and Del Rey Medical Center. He was here about 4 years ago. It's been a long time. I'm sorry it's taken so long to have him back. But Dr. Leader, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
So why don't we start with, I think, a big question that most people have, and they're kind of maybe even a little afraid to ask, is what's the difference between an optometrist and an ophthalmologist?
In a general sense, probably schooling is one way. Optometrists go to optometry school. They do not go to medical school. Ophthalmologists become a physician first and then take an ophthalmology residency where they get trained in surgery of the eyes and diseases of the eyes. Optometrists and ophthalmologists both can deliver very good eye care to people. What has happened in commonplace is that optometrists tend to, these days, you'll see them more connected with often an optical or vision situations. Even insurances will have, separate from their medical care, which people can use to see an ophthalmologist and get their glasses checked, but they often sometimes just have vision coverage. I just ran into that someone today. Someone came in and said they had no insurance. He only has vision coverage. And he said he had United Healthcare, but he thought, we don't do vision care. That's just optometry. I said, no, you can see an ophthalmologist and use your regular medical coverage. But I guess ophthalmologists have more training. Ophthalmologists are on staff at hospitals. Probably the major difference is we do a whole host of surgeries to the eye. Ophthalmologists have all kinds of subspecialties, such as retina, glaucoma, oculoplastics. And on the other hand, though, I don't want to slight optometrists because there are many, many excellent optometrists that people go for their eye care, and they get excellent care. And many optometrists will do a good exam and sometimes pick up early changes of, you know, cataracts, glaucoma, or macular degeneration. So we work in conjunction with them, and they'll sometimes send somebody to the appropriate ophthalmologist if they find out there's certain problems that they find. But they tend to maybe, and I'm generalizing, might do more of so-called vision care of glasses, contacts, and things of that sort. But they do, you know, general eye exams also.
So we didn't talk about this in our prep, but something you just said. How often should you have your eyes examined?
Whenever people ask me that, it somewhat depends on your ocular condition. Let's say you're, you know, 25 years old, you have no eye problems, no eye issues. Obviously, you might not need it as much as someone who's older. I did have a patient who was a general manager of a restaurant, and he actually said to me, how often should I get my eyes examined? So I said to him, how often should I go out to dinner? You know, I guess I could be self-serving and say typically the average is once a year. But I have many patients that I tell them if they don't have any issues that I'm really concerned about and they're not really older or have any other medical problems, high blood pressure, diabetes, I'll tell them it can be a year, 2 years, 3 years. I have people that I won't see sometimes for, believe it or not, like 5, 6, 7 years. Then all of a sudden they'll
But your
return.
Vision can change fairly dramatically in a
Correct.
Short window of time.
Correct. Right? And however,
some of that medically, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
Sometimes medically created or caused by medical changes.
Right. And but what's obviously it's your vision, so it's something that you yourself can monitor. You know, if you're literally checking yourself every day you get up. If you wake up and turn on the Today Show and you can't see part of it, you know something is right. wrong. And since you asked the interval time, the only thing I would mention is, since people are checking their vision all the time, what really comes to light is people do not check each eye separately. I can almost guarantee you, someone listening right now, if I say cover one eye and then cover the other eye, someone could be surprised and notice one of their eyes doesn't see as well because people right. don't check them separately. I've had patients come in, very intelligent patients that come in and I will ask them, are you having any problems? It's been a year. And they say no. And to my surprise, I had a gentleman who covered one eye and did not know he couldn't see out of his other eye. He had developed a retinal hole and had never noticed it because he didn't check each eye separately. So,
is that because the body compensates?
No, you just don't. Because
you just don't check it.
You sometimes will have a dominant an eye that's more dominant than the other, and if the other eye loses vision, you won't even realize it. I often right. see it since I do a lot of trauma and ER work. People will have a car accident, and then after the accident, they notice one eye was blurry. And it's really obvious if, let's say, they turn out to need glasses. Well, the accident didn't cause them to need glasses if I discover a glasses prescription. So it's obvious that they needed it beforehand, so they didn't notice it. So not to be long-winded on the how often should you get your eyes checked, but you can check your eyes every week. But the only thing is, the advice would be cover one and then cover the other. Check them separately, because if you look at both together, you may not notice that one eye has gotten worse.
That's fascinating. When you think about the last eye exam, whenever you get an eye exam, they always do one eye at a time and then come back to it. It's really and you're right. I would never have thought of that.
I just saw a woman who went to the DMV, and they failed her because she didn't read the whole line. And she didn't realize when you look at the DMV, you're looking in a stereoscopic viewer, but they have one different line on the left and different on the right. And she did not know why she missed the left side of the line. And she had, until they tested her, she didn't realize her left eye was blurrier than the right.
That's amazing to me. So I spoke last week to a group of seniors, and I noticed in anticipation of you coming on tonight, I don't know why it was top of mind, but I noticed that every single person, and there were maybe 15, including myself, had a pair of glasses on. Every single person. Now, I watch my grandchildren at their sporting events. I watch my 13-year-old, who happens to wear glasses, all of his friends. Nobody wears glasses. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that as we age, our eyes change. Is that strictly a product of aging? And if so, why?
If people are wearing glasses, that tends to be a product of aging or changes in the globe itself or the lens. To see a larger group of people, everyone wearing glasses, maybe some of them wearing distance, maybe some have bifocals, maybe some see great at distance and just have most people after 40 or 50 will have a pair of readers as I have. Usually glasses just serve to focus the image on the retina. If your eye is functioning well and the image is focused on the retina, you should see well. So it would be other conditions that I'm sure you'll mention, you know, going to macular degeneration. As people know that they're familiar in hearing, macular degeneration, cataracts, glaucoma, and each of those can have a hereditary component, also an environmental component such as cataracts. They sometimes feel that can be related to UV exposure. And they recommend, you know, it's a good thing to wear ultraviolet protecting sunglasses, which can be inexpensive.
Right. It's fascinating to me when I watch it. When I talk about eyes, I have to tell you, when I talk about eyes, either on the radio. And by the way, if people have any questions, you can call us at 877-960-9960 if you have any questions for Dr. Leader about your eyes. But, it is clear that eyes problems with eyes scare people. The idea that their eyesight will be compromised and maybe they won't be able to drive or they won't be able to read or see the TV, it's terrifying. So I guess my question, and I'm not sure that you would know the answer, or I'm sure you have an opinion, what needs to happen to you, to me, to tell somebody that they must get in to see you? I mean, what's going on that they need to get up and not ignore the telltale signs that something's wrong with their eyes?
Well, probably the biggest alarm would be a sudden decrease in vision, because things like glaucoma, if your pressure is higher than normal, it's something that changes slowly. That's not going to shock you or surprise you. Cataracts often change slowly, so that's not going to shock you. So either a awareness of a gradual decrease in vision, and obviously anyone who has a sudden decrease or a darkening of one side or a curtain coming down, any type of symptom, should probably get out and seek some sort of advice sooner. It's surprising to me. We will often see people in the emergency room who will say, my eye went blind like 5 days ago, and they're waiting. And they actually legitimately are waiting, thinking maybe
it'll
clear up.
Right, it'll come back.
And it doesn't seem, you would think after 24 hours, someone would say, my gosh, I have to go. I would be curious, but sometimes people do put things off for various reasons.
And I know from on a personal level for myself, I'm terrified of anybody touching my eyes. So, I know for me, if I were to delay and procrastinate, that would be the reason why. Yet on the other hand, I'm very conscious of the fact that I need to see more clearly than I do at times, particularly at night. Why is night vision such an issue?
If there's anyone out there who's a photographer, they would understand the principle of the pupil of your eye is like the
lens,
the pinhole of a camera. What's okay. The aperture of a camera? Okay. And it's very easily demonstrated that even a small difference in light, your pupil will dilate. And when you go to the eye doctor and he puts in drops to dilate you, you notice your vision is blurrier. So even when I developed a small distance prescription, I could drive to the hospital at 5 o'clock at night and see clearly. And then on the way home, just my pupil changing from, 3 millimeters to 4 millimeters or 4.5. I found it so amazing that scientifically a small variation in your pupil will make a difference in the clarity. Now no one buys SLR cameras as much and changes the aperture, and you would use a small f-stop or a large a small aperture to get a good depth of field. So that's why at nighttime it's harder to drive. Also, another issue is contrast sensitivity. During the day, it's easier with a lit situation to see, let's say, black letters on a white background. There's more light. At night, there's less light. And as people age, it's harder to see when there's less of a contrast between the letters and, let's say, the background that they're on.
Very interesting. So you're right. There are so many things that we need to talk about. I think one of the things that traditionally comes up that scares people, or that people are beginning to deal with as they age, my audience in particular, is macular degeneration. So what is it? I know that there is a wet and a dry version. I have no idea myself what the true differences are, how serious they are, how they progress, et cetera.
The way I often explain it, I'll just say the words macula is the center of the retina. When you're looking straight ahead, if you would draw a line from the object straight ahead right to the back of the retina, that's the macular region. Degeneration is aging changes. So you can use the word macular degeneration to say, yes, you have aging changes in the back, but nothing significant that's affecting your vision. It seems to become a so-called disease entity when there's changes in the cells and the nerve fibers in the back of the eye sufficient enough to affect the physiologic functioning of that area. And if it's just dry changes, thinking of your skin that might have wrinkles or chapped skin, it just doesn't function as well. When the cells get even more damaged and the blood vessels, you can get leakage from the blood vessels. So it's almost like in your skin, if you now have swelling, that causes a derangement in the alignment of the cells and the neurons. And typically that's what we refer to as wet, when there's just swelling in the layers of the retina versus dry, which is no fluid, but still aging changes in the layers of the retina that is sufficient enough to possibly affect your vision.
Can you treat both? Is one more complex? Is one more serious?
Usually wet is considered more serious. And these days, the retina people have a lot of a good armamentarium. You'll hear many people, it sounds more scary and painful. People get injections. There are thousands of people across the country that are getting injected with medication that is tremendously effective in helping to dry up macular edema, people who are diabetic, people who have vein occlusions. And some of it is, I had a woman who was 2400 and after one or two injections had returned to almost 20/20 vision. Even I was amazed at how well she responded to her swelling in the macula with injections into her eye.
So the diagnosis is no longer the terrifying diagnosis it once was.
It doesn't have to be, but obviously everyone is different because right? You don't want to give people false hope because, well, what's really great is the technology that the retina groups have now. They can scan the retina and they literally can see every layer of the retina and can follow the swelling, the edema, which is swelling, and look for improvement and see at the level of almost the cellular level of the retina and really follow people really well and treat them, in a very pointed way.
And the dry is more maintenance.
The dry, there's less you can do, because if there's fluid, you can try to get it to resorb. But if there's aging changes, that's where you often will hear people talking about antioxidants and different nutritional things. One of the more commercially available supplements that is called an AREDS, A-R-E-D-S, which I always thought was some fancy term. And then AREDS 2, it just means age-related eye disease study 2, and then they change their formula. It's often marketed as PreserVision. Ironically, just to mention, sometimes when I watch Jeopardy, I see it's advertised during Jeopardy, so I don't know if maybe they think people have macular degeneration are very intelligent watching Jeopardy. But
well, they have big screen TVs that can see the answers.
Right.
That's great. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. It's Monday night. We're live with Dr. Douglas Leader, who is with the Leader Eye Center here in West Palm Beach and in Jupiter. He is the chief of ophthalmology at St. Mary's Hospital. And clearly, if you've been listening, he is an expert on your eyes and how you can improve your eye care and the outcome of any of the diseases that affect our eyes. We're going to talk much more to Dr. Leader about the things that you want to talk about, including cataract surgery. We're going to talk about LASIK. We're going to talk about eyeglasses. We're going to talk about where you can get your eyeglasses. And we're going to talk about glaucoma. So much more. So much to continue to talk about. If you have questions for Dr. Leader, of course, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by 6 family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Here tonight with just truly one of the most informative guests I think I have ever had and could ever have. Dr. Douglas Leader is here from the Leader Eye Center, which is in West Palm Beach in Jupiter. He's been in our area for nearly 30 years. He is the head of ophthalmology at St. Mary's Hospital. He does most of the trauma surgeries. Before we move on to some of the other things, and I think we may have a caller, I'm not sure, but before we move on to the caller, there was one more thing you wanted to add about macular degeneration and the grid that you wanted to talk about.
Sure. For people who are home thinking, oh my gosh, could I have macular degeneration? Of course, you need to see an optometrist or an ophthalmologist, have them dilate you and look. But one of the earliest signs, because it affects the alignment of the cells and the neurons in the back of the retina, if you look at a checkerboard type square, there's one called it's called an Amsler, AMSLER, Amsler grid, that you could Google and come up with a picture and print it out. We often say put it on your refrigerator. And as I said earlier, it's always good to check each eye separately because they're two totally separate units. Cover one eye, look at the grid. Cover other eye, look at the grid. If you see that the lines do not appear straight or wavy, it's actually proven to be able to pick up some macular changes very, very early.
Right, early. So we do have a caller, so let's take a caller. Tony is calling in. Welcome, Tony. Scott here at Oh My God. You have a question for Dr. Leader?
Yeah, years ago, I was interested in LASIK, but I was always told, because I'm legally blind in one eye, my left eye, that they didn't want to mess with the right eye at all because of that situation. I don't know if LASIK has changed since then. Would it be worth it to do anything, and would it last?
It probably would do well, but the reason that they didn't want to do it is reasonable. Just the way you can drive weeks and weeks and months and years and never have a car accident. Any LASIK is a superb and excellent and very meticulous good procedure, but as in any surgical procedure, there's always the risk of an infection or an issue, a non-surgically related issue, and it could put your only seeing eye at risk, and it might not be the best to chance it, although there are many people who have lost an eye from a trauma or something and they still end up having cataract surgery or doing LASIK. But some doctors would be very reticent, only because, like any surgical procedure, the biggest risk is an infection, which can happen even though if you do this procedure 1,000 times the same way. So people tend to be a little nervous about doing any elective procedures on someone who has one eye. In fact, we often advocate anybody who just has one eye to wear, even if you don't have glasses, to wear polycarb safety glasses to protect your eyes should you ever be in a situation, you're driving your car, you get hit, or to protect that one eye really to the extreme.
I think that's very important, Tony. Thank you for calling. I appreciate you tuning in.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Dr. Leader, my very best friend, I mean, he's like a brother that I never had, has one eye. And you're right, he wears protective glasses. Now he needs them, but his entire life he wore protective glasses for just the reason that you articulated. I had not thought about that in a very long period of time, but that's there.
Well, when I have a patient that just has one eye, I will, even if they don't want to wear glasses, I will always write him a prescription, write polycarb safety lens, Xerox it, and give it to them so that way I can show that I've clearly advocated that they protect their eye. You could be sitting somewhere and someone throws something to somebody and it misses and it hits you in your only seeing eye. I have one patient in particular who does only have one eye, and he comes in almost every year poking his eye with a branch, and he does gardening, and I implore him, and he's out there gardening and he doesn't wear like a safety glass or sunglasses all the time. But
so I wanted to go to cataracts left, but it's sure. It's a longer conversation. So, but since Tony brought up LASIK, you know, there was a time that LASIX was outrageously expensive, or you know, seemed to be. I know the prices have come way down. I assume the technology has improved dramatically.
Yes.
Are you a big fan of LASIK surgery?
Interestingly enough, I don't really have a big prescription or much prescription at all, so it's harder for me to totally imagine what it's like if you're a, you know, a minus three nearsighted person and you're just so tired of seeing blurry. It's an excellent procedure. It's done very well by many, many ophthalmologists. Some are cornea specialists. Some are not cornea specialists who do LASIK. And there's literally probably, I don't know the numbers, must be millions of people who have really enjoyed much better vision from it. Like anything, there's always risk to every procedure. But it's an excellent procedure if people want to do it in their middle to younger ages. And when your people are older, it doesn't really make as much sense, because you can affect people's and neutralize their prescription when they get older and do cataract surgery.
Right.
So there's really no reason to do it if you're, you know, most people in their 70s or 80s, let's say, or 60s, late 60s, depending on if they have a cataract, doesn't make sense to do LASIK.
Yeah, because they're going to eventually operate on the,
correct,
on the cataract anyway. So, and that kind of would accomplish
mm-hmm.
the same result, even if a different
exactly.
way to do it. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Douglas Leader. Dr. Leader is with the Leader Eye Center. He is the chief of ophthalmology at St. Mary's Hospital, and he is their trauma surgeon at both St. Mary's and at Delray. He's clearly about as knowledgeable as you can humanly be. He's been in practice in the area for nearly 30 years. I'm going to give you his contact information during the next segment, so get a pen and paper ready. But if you have questions, you don't have to wait. You can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Here tonight, talking about your eyes. We're talking about eye care. We're talking about different eye conditions. We're talking with Dr. Douglas Leader from the Leader Eye Center here in West Palm Beach and in Jupiter. If you're on 95 or the Turnpike headed home, please be careful. I know there's weather around. Take it nice and easy. We're glad that you're with us. Of course, if you have any questions about your eyes, you can reach Dr. Leader at 877 877- 9609960. You know, Dr. Leader, one of the things that is very common, particularly amongst my audience, boomers and their parents, is the conversation that we have around cataracts. You know, how to treat cataracts and the surgery, the various lenses. I don't know what question to ask first, so let's just talk about cataracts in general.
Cataract, the actual word cataract means any type of cloudiness in the lens. So as you, from birth, your lens starts to age, and when you're 40, it doesn't look the same as when you were 14. So any, you can have a diagnosis of a cataract, but it doesn't mean that it's affecting your vision. So when people ask me, they say, when do I do cataract surgery? And I say, are you having a problem? You should consider it, and you don't have to do it, if it's not another cause that's affecting your causing your decrease in vision. If there's activities that you like to do that you can no longer do. And I say that because everybody's different. Some people just want to go over to the bridge on their bike and sit there with a fishing pole, and that's what they want to do. Some people want to do crossword puzzles. Some people, as they're aging, I use a more extreme example, maybe someone's an airline pilot, maybe someone's a detective. Well, if you're going to be shooting a gun, you kind of would like to have your vision a little sharper than the guy who's, you know, tossing out his fishing rod. So I tell a patient, I just ask them simply, are you having any problems? And surprisingly, once in a while, I'll meet people who were advised to have cataract surgery, and they get a second opinion, and they actually will come in and read, you know, down to the second or the bottom line. So just because you're breathing and you have health insurance is not a reason to have cataract surgery. We like to advise it when we think we're going to improve your lifestyle, perhaps help you keep your driver's license, and basically improve something that you're not happy about, which is your vision.
And I have a couple more questions, but that is in fact what happened to me. I was aggressively being told that I needed cataract surgery, and it's about 5 or 6 years ago, and I'm still not in need of cataract surgery. I just had somebody who really wanted to.
You were alive and you had health insurance.
And I had health insurance. But there is a lot of talk around cataracts, particularly the various lenses.
Correct.
You know,
The simple way to put it, people who wear contacts have the option of wearing, if they're older, have the option of wearing distant lenses and also contact lenses that have reading zones in them, so they actually can get very good distance and near. Well, that's been adopted by the lens implants, the only difference being, obviously, an implant in your eye can't be changed like a contact lens if you don't like it.
Right.
But also, insurance companies typically cover the normal single distance lens. So if you want to get reading, there's a premium that you do have to pay for those lenses. And the majority of ophthalmologists will give people the information to give them the choice. It doesn't make sense to pressure someone into getting the more expensive ones, because obviously there's a greater profit to the surgeon to talk someone into that. But many people if you don't want to do the multifocals, then you pretty much will be guaranteed. You have to wear readers because the normal single vision distance lenses don't change shape to accommodate for reading. So we always tell people, you will definitely need reading glasses because we try to put in a lens that will give you the best distance vision. Although, like I said, some of the multifocal lenses are always constantly, and even now they're trying to improve them. They even have newer lenses where that through different modalities, such as, let's say, lasering different parts of the lens, you can actually hopefully change the lens function and the lens power after it's implanted.
Wow.
Which they're still working on things like that.
Are there many complications in cataracts? I know people only do one eye at a time.
Correct.
Are there many complications? Is it a large percentage, an infinitesimal percentage?
Cataract surgery actually statistically is, I couldn't pick a one particular study, probably 97 to 98.5% successful. It really is a incredible, superbly technical ballet almost of removing the cloudy lens and putting in a brand new lens. The biggest risks that I always tell people are like with if you cook in your kitchen and you're, you know, cutting up celery, infection, you can get a cut. So what happens anytime you cut anywhere in the body? Infection, hemorrhage. I always mention loss of your eye because if you search far enough, you can meet someone who had an infection, maybe didn't go to the doctor right away for various reasons, and people do cataract surgery. The surgeons and the surgery centers take every precautions with sterility, but if they do 40,000 cases, it's not impossible that someone couldn't rub their eye or go home and they're feeding their pet, and they, you know, you have to carry a bag everywhere now and you walk your dog and they rub their eyes. So there's ways you can, unfortunately, end up with an infection. But really, most, the great, great majority of people do quite well.
How do people reach you? I'm going to give your number a number of times, but I promised everybody during this segment that we would tell people how to reach you.
The simplest is to just call our main office. All the numbers ring at 561-686-2020. And most of the time we like to have an actual live living person answer the phone. There are times that someone may be out for sickness, or I'm somewhat a little bit lenient if someone's having some issues or needs to go to their doctors. I like to let my staff have a chance to make their appointments. So the machine might answer, but we're usually pretty good. I often even pick up the phone if I'm walking by and it's ringing. And
you're absolutely right. I called and they picked it right up and got to you the other day. So it was great. Give the number one more time.
Sure. It's 561-686-2020.
And you have a website?
I do. 2020-2020USA.com. It's barely one page that shows our address, our locations, and
And the things that you treat. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Douglas Leader from the Leader Eye Center. Dr. Leader, clearly, if you've been listening tonight, is an expert on all things about your eyes. As chief of ophthalmology at St. Mary's Hospital, he has seen most everything in his role as their eye trauma surgeon. And clearly, he's entertaining, knowledgeable, friendly, and he runs a great office, and we're going to talk more about that and many other things as soon as we come back. So if you have questions, take advantage of the time we have left and call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody, here with Dr. Douglas Leader tonight from the Leader Eye Center. And I do have a caller, so I'm going to get right to that, and then I have a couple of other or lots of other questions to still ask my guest tonight. But Mary, you are on the phone, and I know that you have a question for Dr. Leader. So go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Leader. I'm a 75-year-old active practicing nurse. I drive quite a bit. I had cataracts done both eyes 5 years ago. About a year later, I needed to have a laser treatment because some of the film is growing back. And I did fine for a while, but now night driving is becoming a problem again. Can any more be done? And I had the three-level trifocal implants put in so I could use my computer at work, drive, and read.
It sounds like you've done quite well, having had all the things done that could relate to decreased vision, having had the laser, which opens the membrane that holds the implant. Off the top of my head, I would think you'd want to make sure your glasses are up to date, that you haven't had a change in your glasses. And other than that, you know, I would want to assume that you've had an eye exam and were dilated and everything in your retina is within normal limits. And you'd want to, you know, check the retina and, you know, have a thorough eye exam just to make sure there is no more potential to improve your vision, if possible.
Right. I've had an eye exam within the last year. I only wear glasses at night just because it brings things into focus a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still not feeling terribly confident in the evenings, and that's a problem for me because I'm very active in my profession and athletically, and I guess I just want it back the way it was. I know that's not perfect, but I don't know, can you change the lens again? Can you do any more? Is this about as good as it's going to get?
You probably wouldn't want to change the lens. I mean, the question I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I'd be curious to know, what is your level of vision? For example, if you were, you know, 20/30, 20/25, there becomes, you know, I do have patients that want to see better that are 80, 85, and that's older than you are. And I'm like, you don't run as fast as you did when you were 14, and there's just a limit sometimes to the physiology of the retina and the nerve that it may not be as sharp as it's possible. And if your glasses are right up, that there's no change. Now, the only other thing I could say is sometimes using a trifocal or a progressive, obviously it gives you a much smaller area, and that can affect sometimes getting a larger image or a picture. One suggestion could be to try getting a pair of glasses. And I know glasses are expensive, but you could just try just separate glasses for distance and reading, kind of like the oversized tennis racket where the sweet spot is much larger. If you just have just distance glasses, your distance prescription would take up a much larger area, whereas if you have a progressive, your distance, your mediate, intermediate, and your reading areas are really small. So if they're not perfectly right aligned with your pupil, it might not give you your optimum vision.
Okay. Well, that's something to think about. I'll look at that. Thank you very much.
Mary, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Glad to have you with us tonight. So, Dr. Leader, you know, as a person who wears glasses and has worn glasses my whole adult life, or at least as long as I can remember, you know, the idea of getting new glasses sends me into a catatonic state because they are so, so expensive. Glasses can be prohibitive, even if you go to some of the discount Costcos of the world. You're pretty excited about less expensive alternatives, and I know that we want to talk about that.
Sure. Well, you know, and all the optical shops do a very good job with people's prescriptions. Sometimes people have prism in their glasses and trying to get the exact heights of different reading and their bifocals. However, just the way the internet has changed the world, I remember getting my first plane ticket at a travel agency. Now I don't think I couldn't even find a travel agency. I don't know how people buy plane tickets if they don't go on the internet. There has been an explosion of places on the internet that all you need is your glasses prescription. You need someone or yourself to measure the distance between your pupils, known as the PD or the pupillary distance, and websites such as Goggles for You, GOGGLES, the number 4 in U, or Zenni, ZENNI, even Zenni has advertised on TV. You can go online, pick a frame. I've done it myself. I've gotten an economy frame for $5, lenses for $6, and a pair of distance glasses for $12. And I always tell people, when you go online, they'll say 20 or 30% off. Don't buy. Wait till they send you the 40% off. Wait for the buy one, get one free. And you can get unbelievable hundreds and hundreds of dollars. What I've found is people who paid $400 or $500 often can get a very similar pair for about 10% of that, $40 to $50, by looking at the online websites.
And the distance in between your pupils, the person who did your eye exam can tell you that.
Sure. Right? They can measure that. You can look in the bathroom mirror with a millimeter ruler and measure, you know, the distance between your two pupils so they know where to set the center of the lens in the frame. And then they stick it on a boat and it comes over from Europe or China. And
I was just thinking, if I take my glasses off to measure my pupils, I won't be able to see my eyes. But anyway, Goggles for You and Zenni, Z-E-N-N-I. I encourage you, if Dr. Leader says that they're a viable alternative, I encourage you to look it up. If you just tuned in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight and I've been talking with Dr. Douglas Leader from the Leader Eye Center. He clearly, if you've been listening, is incredibly knowledgeable about all things eyes. We haven't gotten to half of what I want to talk about yet. We still do have a few minutes. But if you missed the beginning of the show and you're sorry that you did, I have good news for you. We podcast. And so tomorrow you can listen to the entire show at your leisure. Just search OMG. I am getting up. We will pop. Of course, if you're not a podcaster, and I do understand that, we will put it up on my website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfortcare, ComfortCare.com. When you do that, it's going to want to put a T in there and call it Comfort Care. That's not us. Comfort Care is us. ComfortCare. If you would rather be a regular listener, but you're not always available for, you know, at home or in the car, and you may not have a radio at home. A lot of people don't have radios anymore. There is an app for that. You all have smartphones. It's called TuneIn Radio. All you have to do is set a reminder every week at 6 o'clock to tune in radio. And at tune in radio, just set it for WSVU. Those are our call letters. And I will be there every Monday at 6 o'clock. Of course, we also simulcast. We talk, we're on the web at the same time. That's what simulcast is all about. We are local, national, and international. www.trueoldiesfla.com. www.trueoldiesfla.com. LaserTheatre.com. I just, before I tell you about next week's guest, I want to tell you that on September 12th, for those of you who are interested in painting and are family caregivers, there is an event on September 12th called The Twist, or Painting with a Twist, and it's at 2288 North Congress Avenue, Boynton Beach, Florida. I will talk about it again next week, but I encourage you to think about that if you like to paint, and if you're a family caregiver and you think you'd like other people to talk to. Next week, Dr. Ida Mazza from Good Samaritan Hospital is going to be here. She is a cardiologist, and we're going to be talking about AFib, cardiac arrhythmia, and all sorts of other things about your heart. The treatment of heart disease is changing at light speed, and she is going to bring us up to speed from her experience at Good Samaritan Hospital. I'm excited to have her with us. Of course, in 2 weeks will be Labor Day. We'll have a great show for you, but it will be on tape. And for all I know, it could be this show. Dr. Lita, just before I forget, tell everybody else again how to reach you if they want to, if they're afraid to call in, but they want more information.
Okay, very simply, you can call our office, 561-686-2020. Speak to Kathy, Susan, or the answering machine, and one of the three of us will get back to you to give you more information, answer your questions, and help you out in any way we can.
So, there's a whole host of other things that we didn't talk about: glaucoma, we didn't talk about dry eyes, we did talk a little bit about LASIK surgery. Why don't we go to dry eye? Because I think, you know, there's all sorts of advertising. You talked about the ads on Jeopardy. There's all sorts of eye drops, and there's a lot of stuff out there.
Restasis is one of the standard ones. There's a new one, Xiidra, X-I-I-D-R-A. Initially, many people who have, you know, simple dry eye, often just buying a good, inexpensive, over-the-counter tear to supplement the dryness as your eyes make less tears, can often make you do a lot better. If you start with one of the medications first, if you really look at the percentage, maybe Restasis is 1% or 0.1%, which tells you it's 99% artificial tears. So if you start with the medication and improve, how do you know it's not just the liquid that's making you feel better versus the medication? So I think it's a good thing to screen yourself first with just simple over-the-counter artificial tears to see if that improves things. And then if not, then maybe one of the newer medications might be helpful.
Does the environment affect the eyes such that you would have dry eyes? I mean, I have a lot of environmental allergies myself.
Yes.
Since I was young.
Sure. Yeah. To a great degree, in addition to things that people can do to try to minimize the evaporation of the fluid and the liquid that's already in their tears. On the other hand, it's when it's 92 degrees, we all like to blow our air conditioning on our face. Well, that makes your eye tears evaporate. At nighttime, though, one tip, you can change that little switch on your fan, and instead of having the fan blow down, blow in the opposite direction. It'll still circulate the air, but when you sleep, if your eye's a little bit open or there's some little corneal exposure, it'll prevent you getting a lot of dryness overnight.
That's a great tip. So we didn't get to glaucoma, and I know, for example, that glaucoma does run in families, but how much of typical eye disease is hereditary or familial in nature? If your father had cataracts, are you going to have cataracts? Is everybody going to have cataracts? How much does family history play a role?
It depends on the disease. I mean, I guess like anything else, if someone in your family, you know, when you go to the doctor, you fill out, you know, 45 pages. What did your mother have? Your father had? Did someone have heart disease, diabetes, cancer? It increases your risk, but it's never a guarantee that you're going to have the same thing. I know, like, I hear people talk, at, you know, if your parent had colon cancer, well, they want you to have a colonoscopy more often than the average person. So just like with eyes, you know, if someone had glaucoma in your family, a blood relative, then you can simply get your pressure checked. Glaucoma, the simplest thing is get your eye pressure checked. As normal is 10 to 21. There can be a lot of variations of higher pressure that don't have glaucoma or lower pressure that do. But to speak in general terms, you know, you can just have an eye exam. That'll answer a lot of your questions that you may have about your eyes.
So you're just a wonderful guest. I can't thank you enough for being here tonight. Yeah, you are just a wealth of information. You explain it in easy to understand terms. I'm so glad that you came back. I'm sorry that it took 4 years for me to have you back. I hope I can get you back.
I'll be more than happy to come back.
Before 4 years goes away. It's so much more I want to talk about that we didn't get to, but we will on the next trip around. Thank you so much and continued good luck. Dr. Douglas Leader from the Leader Eye Center is here. He has offices in Jupiter and in West Palm Beach. He's been here for nearly 30 years. He is the chief of ophthalmology at Good Samaritan, St. Mary's Hospital, and he's at the Trauma Center at both Delray and St. Mary's. I encourage you, if you have questions, to call his office, as I've given you the number for. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. We're here live every Monday night, 95.9, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We hope that you'll be back next week. I want to thank you for being here tonight. We'll see you then. Have a good night, everybody. Have a great week next Monday night. Good night.